with amendment to text number 384. That's the first item. Did you want me to continue? Okay, so we can address any questions that the commission may have.
I have a few questions, Derek.
Yes, sir.
So in 2020, it was amended to allow for the local density bonus?
Well, the local density bonus, that's what's on the table today.
What was amended in 2020?
In 2020, it was the state mandated density bonus, and I believe it was a 20%. 10%, pardon me. It was a 10% density bonus.
So we had 10% bonus allowed in 2020.
Yes, sir.
And that's the state requirement today?
Yes, current state requirement.
So the county decided to make it 25%?
So this would be an additional bonus above and beyond.
Why is that?
Now, this will help us. It'll help a few things. First of all, a common issue lately has been lack of housing. This will help proliferation of housing for lower income individuals and households. That's a benefit for the community at large. The other thing it helps us do is we have this, what's called a regional housing needs allocation. We call it RENA, regional housing needs allocation. The state tells regional governments how many housing units you have to plan for in the future, and they have requirements. You got to have so many units for low income, so many units for moderate income households, so many units for above moderate. And so the state dictates to us what we have to plan for. And by implementing this local density bonus, it helps us with our current effort to update our housing element. It helps us satisfy those state mandated RENA, that RENA obligation. This will make it a lot easier for developers and staff to satisfy these state requirements for this RENA, this regional housing needs allocation.
Okay, what is the amount for lower income? What dollar amount do you use when determining if a person's lower income?
That's a good question. Now, we reference it's a California Health and Safety Code. When you bring up that California Health and Safety Code, section 50079.5, it has legalese, and it refers you back to the federal poverty level. And I was just checking on the current national poverty level to qualify as low income, and that's dependent on how many people are in the household. That could be a
If you're going to switch, state your name again.
Yeah, Eva Quiroga, principal planner. So the income is established by the federal government, and it's actually 80% of the area median income. So for it to qualify as for lower or very low income, there are different levels. So for very low, which is a very small number and usually not used by the developers that Derek was going to share, is for a family of four is $30,000. But average family of four, The income last year was close to $50,000, and I believe it's gone up this year to be about $58,000 or so. So don't quote me, but it's an area 80% of area median income that changes annually.
So the number then is it 50 or 30, or as far as qualifying for lower income units?
So to qualify for lower income units, you have to serve residents that earn 80% or lower of the area median income.
What is that number in Fresno County?
And so, like I said, right now it's about a little over $50,000 for a family of four.
So if you
for Fresno County.
So if you have an area that's below $50,000 in income,
a household of four.
Family income.
Yes.
Now, do you use the figure four per household, or is it three?
It's per family household. So I'm just giving the example of a family of four. So if it's like a single person, they would have to earn maybe less than like about $30,000.
I understand that. But when you talk about development for lower income units and your goal is to have so many units, is it to provide for so many people?
No. The state of California has given us a number of units. So Fresno County and its 15 cities must build 58,000 units. It doesn't say one bedroom, two bedroom, or how many residents it needs to serve, and then each city gets a portion of that 58,000 that was done through a process. The county's portion in total is 2,330. I think it's 2,350, and about half of that has to be for low and very low.
Now, you had mentioned briefly item number four. I know we're not discussing it now, but is there a reason that you did that?
Both items are just was stating that it's in response to the changes of the California housing laws and changes for the housing element. The six-cycle housing element is very different than any previous housing element, and California has set out very strict guidelines and requirements that was never a part of that. Additionally, has added something called affirmative furthering fair housing, which dictates where new development should occur to undo harms of the past. And so when we are looking at parcels to rezone or housing that we're to build, the state is saying you must build in specific neighborhoods and areas that the state is already telling the county in order for them to say we've met our obligation. So both items were used to help us meet that obligation. And the density bonus is something because that we are proposing above the state requirement, because even if a property is zoned R2, 20 units per acre, realistically, it isn't built to the maximum capacity of that parcel. And so the state makes us do reductions. So if we say we have this parcel of 1 acre and the county says 20 units can be built there, they go, but you don't build 20 units, county, don't lie to us. So we have to do a reduction to then say the realistic building on that one acre is probably 12 units. If we're able to start at a higher density at 25% because it's affordable housing, we're giving them that extra 5 units if they build affordable housing. We reduce from 25 to maybe 15 instead of reducing from 20 to maybe 10. And that's less parcels that will need to be rezoned.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to
me. It's the state of California process.
I mean, it's...
that we must adhere to.
Okay, but we're not going to argue that point. I did have other questions, but I think this is not to be confused or mixed with item number four.
Correct. They're separate. It's just that they're...
The only connection would be is that if this passes, then item four has the same density bonus allowed. Is that correct?
All housing in the county would have that.
The one,
yes.
But that's the one that would be before us. So if this doesn't pass, what happens? If this commission denies it, it goes to the Board of Supervisors. It's a recommendation to the board. They're going to hear it anyway.
Correct. We will take this item to the board, and they could pass it regardless of what your recommendation is. Additionally, if the Board of Supervisors does not pass this, it'll require the county to rezone additional parcels than it's already looking for. So let's say we were going to have to rezone 35 parcels. We might need to rezone 45 parcels.
Okay. Now, is that because we don't have zoning that allows for multiple units?
The requirements that the state has implemented, the county does not have currently zoned parcels that would meet that requirement, correct, that are not zoned as R2.
What parcels? Is it R2 then that the county does
yes,
not
so
have?
Yes, it has to be R2 or higher levels.
We
of
have
density.
No R2 parcels in Fresno
We have
county?
R2 parcels, limited R2 parcels in the county, and the ones that do have certain reasons why it cannot be used. They might have been used in previous RENAs. They might not be near areas that they consider to be adequate to build these housing. So the next presentation will go over what those parcels must meet the requirements.
Okay, well, let's move forward then. Any questions right now?
I do.
Commissioner Hill.
To get clarity on this, if you're a developer,
yes,
you go in and you want to establish a development, you're saying to us that you have to have a certain amount of those homes be at for lower level
correct
of income, or you can't build out your parcel.
No, you can build out your
the
parcel
density.
You can. So I own a parcel. I own an acre, and I want to build apartments. And I agree to say 50% of the 1 acre, it would be able to build 20 apartments if I design it correctly and meet all the
apartments
needs.
Apartments and then single family. What if you had a 20 acre?
So again, it's 20 units per acre.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 20 acres, you'd be 20 times 20, so 200 units. So 400 units. So if you have this, if you agree to build 200 of those units for low income, you can have an additional 100 units added to that 400 units. So you'd be able to build 500 units on those 20 acres.
But you're squishing the land.
Yes, it's higher density. Correct.
We're a California area at Central Valley.
Correct.
I'm not quite sure that this is going to be one of the better things to do. Do you have a question?
I have a comment on that.
Yeah, so.
Commissioner Carver.
I think this is important, especially in the county, because we're trying to really preserve our farmland, right, and not spread out wide. And so this is really important so that we can have more density mm-hmm. in some areas and have more housing in some areas that will serve a variety of incomes. I like this, that it's a 50% commitment. Mm-hmm. It mixes income at a really great rate. So you don't have communities that are all poverty and communities that are all higher income. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really good way to move forward on getting to the available, having the available housing in our county. My questions around this is, are we matching changes in zoning to accommodate for green space, adequate green space, adequate parking, and those sorts of things on our higher density and in our higher density areas? So that would be my only question. Is there any consideration around the infrastructure really that goes around new construction and higher density?
They will need to meet our county's development standards. So in their design, more than likely they'll have to go up in order, as we still have maximum lot coverages, we still have maximum requirements for green space. So it does require different thinking in the architect and design of it to meet that need, and we increase density.
Why wouldn't this be directed more towards the cities or say urban populations that might have the infrastructure that's needed to support high rises or higher density properties?
Those arguments were made during our regional housing needs allocation with the rest of the partner cities that we did. The actual number of units that the County of Fresno would have been allocated was more than double the 2,350 that we received. So the other cities did take on, especially the City of Fresno and Clovis, took a larger number of the units that we were to build, because we understand that the growth is in the cities. It is the county's intention to build and encourage building in our developed communities and cities in our partners. And because of that, the cities did take on units. We would have been asked to actually do double of the number of units that we're having to do. But they still say, and we agree, that people do want to continue to live in the rural county areas. But the additional land that we are looking at is in the sphere of influences of our cities. So if you, most of the land that we will look at, where we want to rezone, what we want to do, will be closer to the urbanized areas, as we want to preserve our agricultural land.
But that's not what this says. This is just to increase the density.
This is throughout. It is in order to be able to utilize this bonus density in our analysis, it must be a bonus density for all development that occurs anywhere in Fresno County.
Okay. What happens if a developer gets to put his or her 25% bonus on an acre or whatever size it is? They get the 25% bonus because at the start they have residents that will not have the income, or they'll have a lower income that they qualify for low income. But what happens if that changes with the residents that live there? Or they decide not to rent to low income residents? What happens to their allocation?
The health and safety code that they must adhere to usually requires that a lot of these developments have other subsidized funding. They have state and federal funds that has deed restrictions that require them to rent and rules that they have to follow. And if residents become above income, outside of the income that's required, eventually they do get moved because their rents go up with that to match, and it encourages them to move on. So they can't arbitrarily decide they no longer want to do that. There is a number of years and requirements that's stated out by the state that must be adhered to.
Okay.
So the deed restriction doesn't come from the county. If someone's taking the 25% density bonus, the deed restriction would come from the other subsidized funding?
If they have other subsidized funding, then they meet the requirement of that already. If they don't have that requirement, the county will have to put some kind of restriction on that we will need to check.
And would
it be the likelihood of that happening, of someone building affordable housing and agreeing to rent to the rents that's required and actually cash flow, it's practically low. Unheard of.
Yeah. It's doable. It's unheard of. But my question is, is there a amount of time for the deed restriction? If there's no other funding attached to it, would the county put a 55-year affordability? Is it in perpetuity?
I believe it's a 55-year that the state law requires for bonus density.
Okay.
But I would have to double check, but I believe so.
Okay.
Does it, on the property, if the developer develops, is there a kickback to him for doing that?
No.
From any state funds, any grants, any whatever?
As we mentioned, in order to build affordable housing, they usually have to apply for state and federal grants to be able to do that. And usually they're not grants. They are loans with zero interest or deferred loans, or they qualify for tax credits, which means investors get the kickback who give the money to the developers.
So it's ideal for investors.
It's for the tax credit system is what mainly is used to build affordable housing.
So are the most of these, have you seen two-story?
Yes.
Are there any of them three-story as of yet?
Well, in the county, we only have two affordable housing developments that the county's participated in, and they're both two-story only. Actually, one is two-story. I believe the other is actually one-story in the community of Delray. And Delray is anxiously awaiting more housing, and they're very open to it.
And they have the fire department units that can facilitate that two-story?
I'm not familiar, depending where these will be built. That's the question. Wherever they build it, then those items will be looked at.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions at this time, Commissioner Wolf?
I'm just curious. Some of these pinpointed pieces, properties, say, for example, Van Ness Boulevard.
I believe that's item number four.
Not this.
Oh, not quite yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
This is in general. This has to do with in allowing a higher density for development for lower income units.
Correct.
Anywhere in the county, mm-hmm. But they'd have to come before the commission or somebody to get either rezoning or approval to have the right zoning. Mm-hmm. That's later. But going back, I think we all understand that this. Let me just summarize. In 2020, the state or the board authorized the 10% above and beyond, or 10% bonus if you had development with at least 50% lower income units.
We became in compliance with the state mandate requirement. Okay. For double bonus density.
So there's no state mandate now, but the county's sort of taking the forward step, we'll say, to allow 25%. Local density bonus for the same type of units.
Instead of the 10, correct.
Okay. That would affect future applications for rezoning, but right now, this doesn't identify any of those projects.
Correct.
That's why I'm a little confused at why we're stepping out. I think you touched on it, but I didn't really get that, because to me, I feel like the state's cramming this down our throats. I think it kind of stinks. And I know that we have to adhere to the state, whatever what they do. But why? So explain why we're going above and beyond.
So there are actually programs in our six-cycle housing element that we have to implement.
Right.
And there is a program that's called a zoning program. That means looking at our zoning ordinance and giving suggestions on how we can help facilitate the development of affordable housing. So we do have to actually bring back to the, we are trying to submit our housing element application by the deadline of December this year. And there are different items that they recommend that we look at. This is one of the items, is encouraging affordable housing by maybe lowering the cost of housing as they can put more units on a parcel. So there are other zoning items that we will be looking at, trying to implement. The state will require us to look at other items that we might have not considered. This, approving it at this point instead of in the future during our next housing element cycle in the next 8 years, allows us to start the number of units we can count per parcel at 25. So if we have to show them we have capacity of 1,300 units, that we need to show we have 1,300 units that can be built by this many parcels. If we start at 25 and then the county has to reduce that number lower and lower, and the state's going to say, oh, these 20 acres can't really build 400 because you started at 20. You really only build 200 because we build less dense in the county of Fresno. And that is historically correct. We build less dense. So they won't let us count 400 units for those 20 acres. They're only going to let us count 200 units, which means I have to go find 20 more acres to rezone to show that number. And if we start at 25, I only have to maybe go down to 15 units per acre instead of 10. And so that helps the county to have less parcels that we have to rezone to R2. And it shows the state that there's the possibility of building higher dense housing in our county. It doesn't mean it'll happen, because again, it could be market rate affordable housing and they will not be able to access that bonus. So we're doing that to help us in our assessments, in our analysis to our six cycle housing element.
You mentioned a December deadline. Is that with the Board of Supervisors or with the Planning Commission or the state?
It's the state requirement that we have a compliance certified housing element by December of this year, as our fifth cycle housing element will end. We are in hopes of submitting our draft housing element to them, but it will not be certified by the deadline.
But aren't we in compliance just because the state is not requiring the 25%? Why wouldn't
we
be in compliance?
Are we in compliance with the bonus density? Yes. We have the 10% bonus density, and we have met that compliance.
So what has to be in by December?
The housing element, the sixth cycle housing element.
So couldn't that be in without the bonus density?
Yes, it can be in without the bonus density, and what we are then proposing is the number of parcels we will need to rezone. So if I might need to rezone within 12 months of the adoption of the six cycle housing element, we will be coming back to your board asking to rezone maybe 35 parcels. If the bonus density does not get passed, we might have to come back with 45 parcels to rezone.
And how do you determine which parcels to be rezoned?
The presentation on item number 4 will explain that a little bit more.
That's fine. And when did this process start? I mean, here it is.
Over 2 years ago.
Middle of November, and you're telling us it has to be finalized by the board in December. Is that correct?
Yes. We've been working on this over 2 years. None of the cities and county of Fresno will have an adopted housing element by December.
None of them will?
None
of
them will.
So what happens then?
Due to the new laws and requirements of the six cycle housing element, over 50% of the cities of the state of California have not had an adopted housing element. Some of them were due over 2 years ago, and they're still not there.
So what's the repercussion, or what happens?
We will not have access to a lot of the homeless funds that were just recently in the news. I know the DSS is working on what's called the HAP-5 application. We will not have access to several transportation grants that we've applied for to fix our roads and our streets. The PLHA funds, which is funding that we receive for affordable housing, will also be on hold. And then there are future threats of taking away transportation money as a whole as our road fund.
Well, I don't want to belabor it, but I do want to ask, if this is above and beyond what the state requires, and you're not out there looking, you say, well, you might have to go for twice as many units to meet the requirement of units required. You say we might have to rezone 50 or 35 or more parcels than we would. If we had the bonus, but we don't know how many parcels. You don't know if there's a 5-acre parcel out there, or 1-acre parcel, or a 20-acre parcel out there. If you had a couple 20-acre parcels, that'll take care of a lot of parcels, a lot of units.
We're not allowed to use 20-acre parcels. The parcels must be half an acre to 10 acres.
Okay. I won't look forward to the next item, but if there was one over 10 acres,
There might be small circumstances, and there were many more. We're kind of jumping to item number 4.
Well, the only reason I want to bring it up is so I understand how to vote on this one.
No, I understand.
Because if you're saying this has to be passed so we can get the right number of units and to be compliant with the state, What I'm hearing is we're compliant with the state. You just might have to find more acreage.
No, we're not.
We're not.
After the passing, okay, we're in compliance to December 31st because the fifth cycle housing element is what we were in.
Okay.
We will be submitting a housing element. We hope to submit a housing element in December. At this point, if we're jumping to item number four, if item number four passes as it stands, that is less than half of the units that we need. We will still be coming to you next year or sometime within the next 12 to 18 months from the 12 months from the passage of the housing element, we must rezone additional parcels at much stringent requirements for the state of California. That's it. Anything past December 31st that gets rezoned will be rezoned at a minimum 20 units per acre. Right now, the item number four says proposing up to 20 units per acre. Anything rezoned next year and on will be minimum 20 units per acre. So we were trying to avoid that as much as possible and bring the rezone to you before December 31st. It's been very difficult to identify parcels. My staff's been working on it for over a year. We have a much larger list of unusable parcels than parcels that could be used. And at the last minute, we lost a large majority of our parcels. And this only makes up, like I said, about half or less of the parcels. Now, this assumption is of the 25% bonus density. If that 25% bonus density assumption does not get passed today, this only then will represent a quarter of our parcels. Does that make sense? The quarter of the number of units. And you're right, it could be a larger parcel.
If this doesn't pass today, it goes to the Board of Supervisors without our recommendation.
They could pass it,
They could pass it.
Yes.
But if it doesn't pass, we'd have our reasons or express our concerns or questions.
Correct.
Okay. I think we can move on. Any other questions right now of staff? Derek, did you have anything else to add?
No.
Okay. Are we going to have other speakers?
No.
It's just no. Derek and I. You'll have it.
Okay. So. If there are no other questions, is there anyone in the public that wishes to address this concern? Keep in mind this is not for what you're here for item four. I imagine most of you are here for item four. It may affect it, but it's not the issue.
Good morning. Again, Radley Reeve at 557 West Escalon in Clovis. I have two items to ask you about, and I would like a response from staff with the first one. The first one's about the actual numbering of the zoning ordinance, and the second one is about the environmental review. So with regard to the numbering, I apologize if I'm making a mistake here, but I'd like to let you know that if right now you go to the county's website and you click on the zoning ordinance, you'll discover that it hasn't been updated since 2018, which means that you cannot find section 855P on the county's website. However, because staff helped me out and because I was able to do some research back through the board agendas, I was able to find it. And so the situation is that this particular zoning ordinance, 855P, was first adopted in 2020. And in 2020, it had 12 subsections, P1, P2, P3, P4, P5, and so on. In 2022, the county amended the first four of those subsections, P1, P2, P3, and P4. It seems to me that there already is, the subsection already exists, 855P.5. So you can't add this to the ordinance under that number because you'd have two of them with the same number. I think maybe what had happened, maybe, I'm just guessing, is that in 2022 when staff looked at that and realized that it only had been revised up through four, they thought maybe the next one available was five. That's the only thing I can figure out. So I'd like staff to comment on that. The other thing is, I think if you pass this today, you're going to have an internal inconsistency. Because as they said in 2022, that 10% number was put into P1, and that still remains. So you have P5 with a 50% number and P1 with a 10% number, and I don't think in the same ordinance you can have 20, conflicting 25%. Information.
25%.
Pardon me?
I think it's 25%. The numbers, The first one is 10%.
Okay.
The second one is
whichever
25.
It is. Yeah. They just will be different. You'll have two different numbers in the same ordinance, and you can't do that. So I think what you should be doing is amending P1 to change the 10 to whatever it is, 25 or 50, rather than adding a new one under that number when there already is an ordinance by that number. That's my understanding. I apologize if I have it wrong, so I'd like staff to respond to that. And the other thing is, in regard to an environmental assessment, I think it would really be great if this particular item were to be part of the housing update that's going on right now. And the reason I'm saying that is because that housing element revision through COG, Fresno COG, is comprehensive, and it has an amazing environmental impact report that goes with it. This one does not have any environmental analysis. And as far as I can see, there's a potential here for quite a bit of change in density in housing across the county. This is countywide. And so I'm thinking that maybe that should get also the full environmental assessment. And so that environmental assessment is looking at infrastructure, parks, parking, everything else, the things that you're asking about. So I'm still uncertain as to what the necessity is to push this through when it could simply be folded into the current update of the housing element with its huge environmental impact report. So if you would please comment on the first one to correct me if I'm wrong about the numbering, and to fix it if you can. Thank you.
Okay. I have a question for Radley.
Radley, there's a question for you from Commissioner Hill.
Real fast, Radley. Mm-hmm. What did you say about COG Council of Governments? They have what in place already?
The Fresno Council of Governments is preparing the basis for a housing element for you, the fundamental housing element, which will be coming very soon, as staff was saying. There's a huge environmental impact report that goes with that.
Okay.
And this particular consideration, I think, could be considered under that housing element review. It just seems appropriate place to do that,
okay,
to fold it in. So
thank
I
you.
Didn't know why this was going ahead. Thank you.
Good, thanks. Yeah, 'cause COG.
Okay, thank you. If you can briefly respond.
Staff is researching his first question regarding if it should be 0.1 or 0.5. So I do understand that, but I can respond on the EIR question. So the Council of Governments is taking the lead with the housing element for all the cities except for the City of Clovis and the County of Fresno. Each city and county must actually do their own environmental impact report or their environmental impact analysis. And the County of Fresno is not conducting a separate big EIR, as mentioned, for the housing element. The housing element will be an addendum to the 2000 EIR. It's actually almost exactly what you see here. The main item that the housing element does is project housing for the next 8 years. The number of housing that we're projecting for the next 8 years will be what's required by the RENA and what was allocated to us by the RENA. So we will not be doing an EIR. It will be an addendum. The 2000 EIR for the general plan that was conducted actually proposed a very large increase in population and number of units. We have not met that in any way or capacity. The increase in bonus density will not even meet like one-third of the projected growth. The number of people that we have in our county from the 2000 EIR to now is actually decreased by 102,000 people. So the impact is actually less instead of more. So the 2000 EIR is more than sufficient to meet any new housing allocation through the through the six cycle housing element of this RENA, which this bonus density includes. So is more than adequate. There is no new environmental impacts that have been identified, and there's no reason per statutory requirements that other environmental level should have been considered for this.
Okay, thank you. Was there anyone else to speak regarding this item? Come forward, please.
Good morning. My name is Marco Mastro. I'm at 2491 West Browning Avenue. I'm actually here for Agenda 4. However, I would like to speak on this one. Two things. One, this gentleman talked about the environmental review. which I believe Ms. Carver questioned about as well. And I'd like to ask, a question I have is, what was said earlier was that the list of parcels that were inadequate far outweighs those that are adequate. So if there's not an environmental review checking infrastructure on roadways, traffic, flooding, emergency services, especially, I do have family that are firefighters, and I do know that it takes special equipment to, firefighters need to have special equipment for multi-story buildings. So if you're not doing an environmental review, what qualifies a parcel as adequate versus inadequate? Shouldn't that be done prior to the choosing of any of these parcels? And then I'd also like to point out that I read an article from March of 2023 that states that the city of Huntington Beach, California, entered into litigation with the state of California regarding RENA. As Commissioner Arabian pointed out, it feels like the state is shoving this down counties' throats. They entered into a lawsuit challenging this because there are various laws that contradict each other. So my question is, why would we be voting on this now when there's possible current litigation that could possibly change and amend these laws in the future? Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak on this item?
Hi, my name is Carrie Cruz. I live at 5333 North Parish. And I'm actually also here for item four, but some of the items that have been brought up here that I've heard this morning, I need to address. Commissioner Carver was talking about she likes the idea of poverty mixed with non-poverty. I don't see that. I live in a not affluent area, but it is not at the poverty level. And I do not want to subject myself, my family, my children, my neighbors to poverty level living conditions.
If you could just sticking to this item, we're not talking about your neighborhood.
I'm talking about just addressing what Commissioner Carver had stated. It also sounded like what was presented was that the current R2 zoning she didn't say the word inconvenient, but it was the way she was saying it was like the current is inconvenient. And with some of the parcels that were, that they said were were not usable at this time. It's like, is it easier just to put the money into making these parcels usable or not? What you had brought up about the mandate was with the 10% was satisfied, but we are no longer in a mandate. Why are we going to 25%? If they say, well, even if we go to 25%, we're going to have to advance this again in the future within the next 6 years, why don't we just go to 50% and avoid the future of this? Where are we going to draw the line with this? This just does not make sense. And as you said, it sounds like they are pushing this down everybody's throat. And they also said that there were a number of parcels that were lost. What is the explanation? Why were the parcels lost? Is there some means, some manner that could regain these parcels again without having to pursue new parcels? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other speakers? Okay, is it something new that with regards to this item? Yes, come on forward then. Is there anyone after this speaker? If so, please, to save time. If not, we'll continue.
My name is Martin Garris, and I live at 5210 North Sequoia Drive. What I would like to get clarification on is when I heard earlier that there's a limit on the size of the property to 10 acres. That surprised me a lot because There's a lot that needs to be built. We're looking at larger numbers to fulfill what I understand state requirements. So has it been looked at to look at larger lots, let's say 100 acres, 500, for the number three that we are talking about, right, for the
bonus? That's something that I had addressed, and I will bring it up. They said the next item might be more appropriate to talk about parcel size, so I do plan to bring it up then.
Okay. So, I will be back. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else to speak after this speaker? Okay, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Raquel Rydell, and I live at 2491 West Dovewood. My question is, it seems like we're acting a little bit too late. We are meeting the requirement that we have for the minimum parcel. Why are we now at the very last minute deadline? And actually, we're not complacent. I guess she said we are not meeting it for the sixth housing development. They're not going to be in compliance either way, whether or not you vote to approve or you vote not to approve, because they don't have adequate enough parcels in existence right now. I think that there needs to be an additional study done to see what that impact will have on firefighters, on our emergency personnel, on our school systems, on safety, on flooding, in order to make that decision. That decision cannot be made in haste, and it should not be made without adequate research.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, seeing no other speakers, I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing and allow staff to make a comment.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Chris Motta with the Department of Public Works and Planning. I did want to provide a text clarification that we can make based on some comments that we received regarding the numbering. So staff is recommending that where it says section 855 P5 should be changed to 855 P12, in that additional language right after bonus states that subsections 3 through 11 shall apply. And those subsections, just to give you some history, is already brought up to the commission. We took the density bonus provisions which are required under state law to the commission, to the board in 2020, and then we made updates to it in 2022. Density bonus provisions change almost yearly. There's slight modifications the state makes to this. So that's already codified in our existing zoning ordinance. So what we want to do, the sections 3 through 11 are really application procedures, parking, other things the state requires. We want those to apply to this provision, so continue to apply. So by moving it down to subsection P12, that's at the end of the density bonus provisions, because this is a local density bonus over and above what the state requires. Subsections 3 through 11 shall apply. And that has to do with applications and middle parking agreements, et cetera, the mechanics of actually taking in the density bonus if a net developer wants to take advantage of it. So the staff recommends making those small amendments.
Any questions? Thank you, Chris. Okay, the public portion of the hearing is closed. I'm bringing it back to the commission. There are motions either to recommend and approve as staff's recommendation, or I guess to not recommend approval. Is that correct, Council? Okay. Any discussion or a motion?
I think I will have a comment and then I'll make a motion. I think my comment is, at this point, it's giving the option for those who would like to build affordable housing, a density bonus. It is not mandating anyone to do it in any area. And if they do decide to go forward and take the density bonus and build on a lot of land, they still have to go through all of the processes and an ERR for that project to find out if that proposed project could be built in that space. Are the streets adequate? Are the services adequate? Is the water adequate? All of those things per project still have to be done. So we're not stamping a bunch of housing across our county. So with that, I would make the recommendation that the Board of Supervisors approve the amendment to text application number 384 to allow the affordable housing developments with at least 50% low-income units to qualify for a 25% local density bonus as a matter of right, and direct the Secretary